Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Sergeant Gonzalo Duran. This is Let's Talk Radio, episode 14. Today's guest is Raul Gutierrez. He's going to be on shortly. Once again, thank you to the Patriot Nation Radio Network for giving us this opportunity, this platform, so we can speak to veterans from across the country and get information regarding organizations dedicated to helping veterans as well. Today's topic is going to be the VA prioritization. I know a lot of individuals have mixed reactions, feelings about this. Before we kick in, we're going to go into a quick top of the hour break, and we'll be back in about a minute and 30 seconds.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
This message is brought to you by TheAmericanBrand.org. We are a 501c4 nonprofit founded by veterans for all Americans to strengthen the roots of American working class by telling the stories of America through citizen storytellers. In partnership with Patriot Nation Radio, we are donating $50 to the nonprofit Devil Dog USA with each purchase of a $250 lifetime membership to TheAmericanBrand.org. Devil Dog USA is dedicated to helping homeless veterans find housing and opportunity. Sign up today at TheAmericanBrand.org. That's TheAmericanBrand.org for a lifetime membership and use the sales code Devil Dog USA at checkout. Again, that's one word, Devil Dog USA. Help us give honor to those who have served.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
Hello?
I'm not sure if you could.
Oh.
Yeah, how you doing, Gonzalo?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Give me one second. I'm going to give a quick timeline on what the VA prioritization had. What happened with that? Let's see. Back
okay.
in late 2013, there was the Phoenix VA situation. It was called a blacklist that they were doing on veterans, keeping them from receiving medical attention, VA appointments for weeks upon months. Now, that caused a lot of issues. Even deaths, I believe it was in the mid-30s, veterans that passed away waiting on appointments because the VA was taking their time. From there, in 2014, Congress passed the Veterans Choice Act, giving veterans the opportunity to seek outside medical attention from the VA, so private medical, if they were either 40 miles away from a VA or if their appointments were more than 30 days. Now, since then, there's been ratifications to it. There's been extensions on it. But the whole thing right now with Trump coming into office is whether he's going to try to privatize it. Now, our current Secretary of VA is coming from back in the Obama administration, although I've never really had a real basically, I don't care for his work too much. And I haven't seen much from him, and I don't believe we're going to get a lot from him. But I see him playing a lot of ball game with what Trump is trying to go in right now. Raul, would you give the audience a little quick lowdown about your military background and then what you currently do?
Okay. In the mid-90s, I was a U.S. Marine. Got out because I got injured. And back in the 90s, this was before Wounded Warrior and all that good stuff that happened post 9/11. When I went to the VA system, it was a challenge, and I basically finished up not even 2 years ago by chance of my VA rep finishing it up for me. Mid-90s to early 2000s, we didn't have the choice program. We did have a program when I was in San Antonio that allowed us to – the VA started it, and it allowed us to go to private doctors because they said that the VA was just too overloaded, and so we started doing that. The problem was it got so popular that the VA wasn't getting the, you know, the quota that they were supposed to reach with vets, and the VA shut it down, shut the program down. It was a really great program because you could see your private PA, see private specialists, stuff like that, and it worked very well. But again, you know, everybody stopped going to the VA, so the VA shut it down. Then when you mentioned the choice program, when they enacted the choice program, the problem is it looks great on paper. The problem is the red tape. It doesn't matter if you're 40 miles or more from a VA. Basically what happened was you have to get, you know, get the doctor or the specialist approved through the VA to use that choice program. And it takes basically going to like the DAV or AMVETS to push that red tape so that you can see those doctors. So it becomes frustrating, and you know, the vet that's suffering is we're tired of waiting on stuff that should be, you know, able to, you know, we should be able to receive those benefits without having to fight through all this red tape. And then again, we have now what is the new drive restrictions. It used to be, for an example, I live in South Carolina. I live up in the mountains. If I wanted to go to the hospital for the VA, I had to drive 3.5 hours to Columbia, South Carolina, and then 3.5 hours home with a spinal injury, migraines, and stuff like that. It's very painful. So it became to where I just didn't want to go to the VA anymore. And with the new drive restrictions now, it allows me to go to, say, Asheville, North Carolina, which is 1 hour and 15 minutes away to the big hospital there, the VMAC. For me, that's not really a fix because it just, you know, they're still shifting you around to hospitals, and you still have to drive longer distances to see specialists. Like, for example, even if I went to Asheville, I would have for my to go see a neurosurgeon or to see a neurological specialist, I would still have to drive to Raleigh, North Carolina, which is about 4.5 hours for me to drive one direction. So it helps some, but it doesn't really help.
Could we back it up a little bit and get a little bit more information about you, because you went a little quick right there, and I want to make sure the audience knows, you know, what a badass you are. Like, when I was looking for pictures of you on your page, I picked the best one, you know, big ass cigar, badass Marine, long hair, beard, everything. Now, besides being a Marine from the 1990s, and then now you are the Devil Dog USA South Carolina liaison. Could you give us some information in between then, what you've been doing, what you did, maybe education, your work history?
Mm-hmm. Work history, I'm actually a retired law enforcement officer. I worked in the state of South Carolina and in the state of Texas until I had to retire due to my medical issues with the military. My education, I've got a BS in criminal justice forensics from the University of Texas, as well as some master's work from the professional school of, Chicago School of Professional Psychology. I have my master's work in that. Other than that, I'm retired and spend my time working with vets, dealing with psychological issues. You know, when they feel that the VA system psychology team has failed, I get a lot of calls from vets that need somebody to talk to, and that's what I'm here for.
Okay, so now that we got your history, now that we got a deep impact of your personal views of what the system is, do you believe that it's going to be going to the privatization system, or do you think that the VA is actually going to hold out? And now we haven't talked in a while. We haven't seen each other in a while, unfortunately. So this is one of those topics where we haven't hit on. So I'm curious to see what your feelings are.
When it comes to the privatization of the VA, it would be, in a way, it would be a wonderful thing. But again, you know, it's going to end up probably like how the choice program was set up. It's going to look good and all on paper, and it'd probably be like the program that we had in the mid-90s to early 2000s where we were seeing private doctors. But the VA is a bureaucrat just like any other government bureaucrat, and if they start losing funding, money, stuff like that, then they start complaining, and then the lobbyists will, again, you know, cut those programs. I mean, I'm not really big into politics. I'm I'm what they call a bipartisan liberal. I don't care what side of the house you're on, as long as you do your job. I don't claim Republican or Democrat. You know, I just want somebody to do the right job and do it correctly. The other situation that we run into when you say privatization, and I know one of the reasons why they want to go privatize the VA basically, or the medical for veterans, is because I fall in a class of those type of veterans, because I'm a vet that, you know, it's hard to get, you know, I've seen the system. It's hard to get great medical care, stuff like that. And so you have a class of veterans like myself that actually had to go on Social Security disability just to get treatment. And so we just tend to avoid the VA altogether and use Social Security as our mainstay way of getting that medical help that we need for our injuries. And I mean, it's a bad way to go about it, but you know, we have to, you know, when you're hurting and you have medical issues. Yeah, it basically, when you're hurting and you have a lot of medical issues, that's the only thing that I can go see these specialists without getting any complaint from anybody, you know, or getting red tape thrown at me saying I have to have all these approvals, you know, to go see a doctor.
Me personally, I would like to keep the VA the way it is and just extend the Veteran Choice Act and make it even better. Let's stop focusing on trying to change the whole system and just fix the problem, because once again, the red tape now and the bureaucracy that comes with it and the restrictions, even though, and for the veterans that are, for the active duties that are out there right now, to the veterans that are really newly getting out or on the fence of what they should do on getting privatized, or excuse me, on civilian doctors or not. Look, right now, one of the biggest problems that I have seen, and that the reason why I steer individuals from using the Veteran Choice Act, is because once you go out in town and you start using the system that's different, then it starts hurting the veterans. Well, and here's one example. There's one veteran that I had to assist where he went to go see a doctor outside the VA system. Now, because the system wasn't, you know, situated for the payments to go to the VA and get paid, now there was a delayed process. I don't know if it was months or years, but the problem was bill collector doesn't care. The bill collector doesn't care if the VA or a veteran or the bill collector wants their money. Now, once that bill collector hits your system, now you're messing up somebody's credit score. And now, most likely,
I have a great example of that, and it's even personal for me because I live so far away from VMAC, you know, I either have three choices: go to Atlanta, go to Columbia, South Carolina, or go to Asheville. I have a local hospital, and with my type of injury, you know, it's better for me to go to my local ER. When they ask me how do I want to pay for this, you know, obviously I can say the VA, they have my card. But the problem is that I mean, bills coming out my ears, and from years and years back. And then every now and then, I will get a bill statement from the VA, basically, that states of all the bills that they paid to that hospital that are, I mean, decades old, not even up to date now. I mean, these are bills that are, I mean, more than 10 years old. And it's just ridiculous that it has to take that long for them to pay a bill when I as a vet have the right to go to a, you know, to the ER closest to me, because I live so far away from a VMAC.
That's another problem.
So
and, you know, that's one of many where I see that, you know, not only that, the payment problem or the business problem or how to get, you know, who you're going to fit, but also the cost that is going to cost. You know, the private sector uses us as, the way I use it is cash cow. And they see us and they just run to the opportunity to take over what we're doing and take advantage of us. Now, I'm a bipartisan, but I lean more on the right. So when I see this opportunity for the privatization of it, I just see the cost of increases in our medical care, which concerns me, because right now we already have a large amount of money going into medical. You know, right now a doctor, VA doctor, a federal employee, you know, they can make anywhere between $90,000 to $200,000. You know, imagine a civilian doctor, how much they're going to be charging, because they're making anywhere between $250,000 and $500,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
It scares me thinking about the way that this is angling towards privatization, even though they're saying no. I think as from what I last heard from the VA secretary, it was in April or May that I heard the last time he said, we are not privatizing the VA. I want to see in a couple more months and see what the transition is going to be. Oh, well, we might, and then eventually it's going to be we are. That's the way it looks to me in my point of view.
Well, to me, when they say we're going to privatize, you know, all I see is just promises. You know, just I want to promise this. You know, like all presidencies you see in history, you know, everybody, all these guys that run for president, they make these promises and they want to say, oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, to keep you under their ticket. But, you know, for me, I don't think it'll privatize, because I think what's going to happen is the VA lobbyists are going to pull both sides of the house and just say, hey, you know, we've been here the longest, we can treat the vets better, which to me is false, because they don't really treat the vets better. I mean, there's so many class action cases right now of mistreatment, neglect, monetary fraud, stuff like that going on inside the VA, but the VA system is so large that it's just hard to control it. And our people in power, our legislators, our congressmen, our representatives know that, and they know it's going to take forever to fix this problem. You know, the problem was the VA had good intentions in the start, but you know, now it's gotten to the point where it's just a beast of its own. You know, so you know, we as veterans have to suffer while they try and fix stuff, basically.
True. And now, just to make it clear to the audience, you know, we're not, well, me personally, I'm not trying to bash the VA on their work system, nor am I trying to make a witch hunt on Trump or anything like that. My goal is strictly, and I know for a fact yours, is always the best benefit of the veteran community. You know,
mm-hmm.
Someone like you, you know, as you're, you know, your work within the mental health field, you know, crosses over. You saw there was a delay in the VA crisis line. So, you know, one of your objectives with Devil Dog USA is to help assist when there is an abundance of suicidal phone calls. So if somebody from the East Coast has an issue, you're the guy that we go to say, look, there's
mm-hmm.
a case that we can't handle, and it's a little bigger than we can and deal with, and the veteran needs to talk to somebody. Boom, there you go.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And I always appreciate helping other vets, you know, especially when they're having a psychological crisis. I can't fix everybody, and none of us can, you know, but at least I'm there and we are there as a group to assist when the vet is psychologically struggling, especially when they go to the VA and they expect help. And they're not getting it. They're just being put on hold, or they're saying, well, you know, the next appointment's 2-3 months down the road. When you're having a psychological crisis, you don't have that time. And so we're there to fill that gap. And, you know, it's a sad thing that, you know, that has to happen. I have another personal experience that, you know, I can share with you. One of my sons is out of the Army now. He has some PTSD issues, and I can tell you the first time he went to the VA, all they did was put him into a drug-induced stupor, basically. Sent him home on a bunch of pills. He couldn't even function, and I wasn't too happy about that. I was like, well, did you even talk to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, counselor, anybody? Tell him to do some type of psychotherapy, something like that, to try and get out what this pain is. And he was like, no, they asked me a few questions and then put me on a bunch of medication. And that's just – in a way, that's not the way to treat somebody. You know, yeah, there are people with psychological crisis that need to be on medications, but they need to be monitored when they're on those medications. They don't need to be just given a handful of stuff and sent home and to deal with their own, you know, problems. And that's something that, on my side, I see that needs to be fixed greatly.
Now, your biggest question, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. I just want to give you an opening for something right here. You know, when we're talking about the VA prioritizing, my goal is to say, look, there's a lot of problems going on right now. The VA is, you know, has a huge influx of, you know, veterans since the, you know, this war that we're, you know, the war on terrorism right now. So it's understandable that they can't control and they can't operate the way they want to. So there's been a need for all these nonprofits to come out and these other programs. You come in and you help with the psychological problem for suicide. Now, another thing that you've done is you've gone above and beyond that, I'd say, what a lot of people wouldn't go to. I was looking at a News 12 interview that you did in 2014 regarding the housing situation for veterans. Right now in New York City, there is a bill going on where they're trying to fight the discrimination regarding veterans seeking housing using their GI Bill. Now, you and I have been very advocate about this, and our thing is not to continue making bills and having discussions about the problem. It's actually to do something, putting our foot forward and paying it back, whereas we're trying to get the individuals that are stopping us from getting housing, like landlords, realtors, brokers, to understand the problem. Now, I know in South Carolina it isn't an issue, but...
Well, I wouldn't say it's not an issue. You know, where I'm at, I'm in a rural community, and, you know, being in a rural community, we have, you know, four major cities, and that's pretty much it, you know, and they do have homeless issues with vets. Where I'm at, you know, and I was talking with the talking with my VA rep here in one of the towns that that works with me, and we don't. What's scary is that I'm counting right now, going around to some of the homeless shelters and trying to get a percentage of how many of these homeless individuals are veterans, because they really don't keep track of it down here where we're at, and that's a sad thought, you know, because it's sad to be homeless anyway if you're a civilian or vet, but we don't even have numbers down here on what the actual, you know, veteran homeless population is. And that's scary for me, you know, because I don't know, you know, for me, I can't help those that I don't have a number for, or I can't see, you know, and that's something that I've been working on with some vet groups down here.
Is there any other issues that you are, you're pushing forward onto that you'd like to talk about today?
I would say the only thing that I have, especially when it comes to vets and the VA, make sure I I'm dealing with this. I'm walking my son, one of my sons, through this. I have four boys that basically are military, one that's out, and the three others that are still in. Basically, when you get out, and they don't, you know, and this is coming from my son. You know, he was telling me that when he was getting out of the Army has a basically they have people that, you know, help them get out and, you know, PTS out and get tell them how to go about getting their benefits and stuff like that. And they're blindsiding these young men and women, basically saying, oh, the VA will fix everything. They can do everything for you. They can get you help. They can get your, you know, they can get your percentage if you're injured, all that stuff really quickly. And they're just blindsiding these young men and women, and it's not true. I mean, and you know, so I'm having to walk my son through this process. And he tried to do the VA, just straight through, go to the VA and do it. And they just keep on asking for paperwork, or they lose paperwork. So I basically had to step in and show him how to go about getting what we call a power of attorney, or a POA, through a VA rep like AMVETS, the American Legion, DAV, what have you, and have them assist him on getting his percentages, getting him the medical help that he needs. Because the VA, even though he has PTSD and a spinal injury, they will not treat his spinal injury right now. And the only reason why they will treat his psychological issues is they call it a humanitarian reason, because he does not have a percentage yet. And so we received bills from the VA, basically like medical bills from the VA that he has to pay, that they're saying he has to pay the VA basically for them to see him. And I've never seen that in my life. I mean, even in my own quest through the VA, I've never had them shoot me a bill, you know, and that's something that, you know, we need to, you know, we as a group, we as veterans need to look at and see what's going on with that, because that's, you know, this isn't a humanitarian effort. He's a vet. He needs to be treated as one and get the proper help he needs, you know.
Just for curiosity, what's his percentage at the moment?
What is my percentage or his?
No, his percentage. The fact that they were sending
his percentage,
you know,
he is not rated. He's not rated. Yeah, he's not rated yet. He's not rated yet. He's going
even
through the rate.
Out,
he's going through. Yeah, he is not
even
rated
he got out,
at all.
Even though he got out, did he get out of the military?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been out for almost a year. Yeah.
And these injuries happened while he was in service. So just to,
yep.
Just to make it clear to the audience, that's what I'm trying to get out there. These are the things that some of us have to face. Not everybody, but there are numbers that are faced up like this. Individuals injured while they're in the military don't get out properly based on many different reasons. Maybe the unit wasn't prepared and they weren't as functional as maybe a fleet Marine or a B-billet Marine or whatever. Because these injuries, and then they get out in these ways that are hurting them, and it's a scary thought, you know. And you can only imagine
the
bills piling up.
Yep, most definitely. They did it to me when I got out. I mean, when I got out, they handed me my DD-214, and I was out the door. And then I had to go to the VA when I got home, and it took a year just to get 20% disability on an injury that was more than that. And in 2014, I just found this out for myself, and this will tell you how slack the VA is when it comes to administrative duties. In 2014, I was deemed 100% permanent and totally disabled through the VA. I wasn't made aware of it until about 4 months ago. And that, for me, was terrifying, because the simple fact is it's not the fact of the money or anything like that. My wife has health issues. You've met my wife. She could have been on Champ VA for 2.5 years now. None of my boys would have had to go into the military, especially with my one son. He had a semester of college left for his bachelor's of science degree, and he had to leave school because we couldn't afford it anymore, and he could have been on Chapter 35 and not had to worry about it. And these are the issues that we face, you know, dealing with the VA, basically.
So in both our opinions, let's keep the VA, but let's just fix some of the problems. Let's continue fixing the problems that they're facing before we try to change the whole system.
Yep, that is correct. We need to start at one
point. We have about 30 seconds left. Would you let anybody know if they want to reach out to you, how they can do that, and your last opinions on the matter?
Okay. All right. If anybody wants to reach out to me, mainly my background for Devil Dog, I deal with psychological crisis and issues. If you want to reach me, the best way to reach me is through the Devil Dog USA Inc. Website, and there's a phone number listed there. Gonzalo Duran, who we're speaking with right now, will have that number. You can call them, and he could triage you to the best of his ability, and then he will pass you on to me, because if it's a point where it's such a crisis you need to call 911, please call 911. Do not wait. Go to your closest hospital. Go to your closest mental health facility. If it's something where you just need to sit down and talk to somebody, then my number can be passed out, or you can reach me via my email at forensic, just like the science, forensicmanaol.com, and you can reach me via my email. Tell me what the situation is, and I will leave me a phone number, and I can call you back as fast as I can, and I'll get with you, and we can see if we can work through any of the problems that you're having, or if I can give you some advice to get through to the VA, what have you, so that we can get you the help you need.
Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate it very much.
No problem. You have a good day, Gonzo.
So once again, this is Sergeant Gonzalo Durant from Vet Talk Radio, episode 14. a big shout out to the Patriot Radio Nation Network for giving us this platform to speak to veterans from across the country and for giving organizations the opportunity to share with the work that they're doing as well. Now, today's guest was Raul Rodriguez. You can reach him at www.devildogusainc.org. There's a contact information and ways to reach out. We'll be happy to put you in touch with him if you have any opinions you wanted to share regarding the topics that we had today or if you need any mental health assistance. So once again, thank you, everyone, and we'll be back next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Thank you so much.